good morning. Everybody seems so subdued on this day. That was exactly what I thought. Pastor Chris asked me if I could teach. This is weeks ago. He asked me if I could teach for this week and then two more Sundays while he's in the Philippines. And my first thought was, oh, great. The very first day of daylight savings time. I've done this before. You're all here. I appreciate that. Awake is, maybe. It's also not about you folks that are listening. It's about me and whether my brain is working. So hopefully this all makes sense today. It should. I've taught it before. It's been quite some time since I've taught about prayer. That's a subject that you're going to get a steady diet of here. And that's a good thing because it's a very important subject for the Christian. But when I get a chance to teach like this, and I appreciate Pastor Chris letting me do this, I like to teach something a little different than just the norm that you hear. And not that it's a non-biblical idea, anything like that. It's just they're usually things that occurred to me in my life, my Christian life, that I didn't understand, that I since learned, and I'm here to teach them to you. So that's what this one is. This is a lesson. It's about prayer. It's something I did teach here about 8 years ago, so I don't know how many of you are going to remember it. That's why I brought it. I'm going to teach it this week and next week. It comes in two parts. And what I'm going to teach about, it's not about how to pray. It's not about why you should pray or the power of prayer or when you should pray or all those kind of things, which you get regularly. What I'm going to talk about is more about how to recognize God's answers to your prayer. And it's not even just that. It's about how, it's a little bit about how not to pray, if you will. That's because any study of prayer, any study of divine guidance, if God is going to give us guidance, if we're going to ask him, Lord, lead me, guide me, show me what I should do, the prayers that we often are praying and asking God's help with, any study of this has to take into account the problem of when you've prayed, you've asked for God to direct you or show you something, but you don't seem to receive an answer. You've asked for that direction. You've waited, knowing ourselves, it's usually briefly, right? We've waited for a little while. When we didn't see the answer that we wanted for our prayer, we begged God to answer our prayer. And then eventually, you conclude that God just isn't going to answer that prayer. Have you ever had that experience? I had it. I don't have it so much anymore. Now, when there's what I refer to as a problem here, when there's a problem with something that is a spiritual thing where God's given us lots of instruction, there's something that you always got to remember, and the problem is never God. Never. It's always us. So these points that I'll have today and next week are things that are wrong with us and how we look at things and how we perceive things. So we know God wants to guide us, right? We know that he delights to observe us walking in his will. We know that God doesn't deny us his guidance. But he's silent sometimes. So this is really about that. Why does God do that? What does it mean when God does that? What is his purpose for being silent? So that's really the title. It's When God is Silent. Now, I forgot, if there's anybody that could run downstairs for me, I forgot to give this to whoever's running the live stream. If it's just the verses for the day, they like to put them up on the live stream. I only have, I'm not sure if it's Brother Frank or Brother Bob is down there today, but I only have five sets of verses we're going to use. Thanks, Brianna. I appreciate that. Let's give those to whoever's running the live stream central down there. We apparently have a lot of people watching online. So turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will. We're going to talk about when God is silent. Why does he do that? What does it mean? I hope it's helped to you. Because if you've prayed and prayed and prayed and God seems to be silent, it's not something wrong with him. It's usually something in the way we're perceiving it. So toward the end of Jesus, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, towards the end of that, he gets to this verse, two verses here. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. So this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." So that's a lot of promises, isn't it? Now, there's other things in the Bible, and we don't have time to go over lots and lots of verses about prayer today, but there, you'll find that prayer is conditional. God often says, "If you will, then I will." Okay? So you can't just take this verse out of context and say, well, whoever asks is going to get whatever they ask for. Well, that's not true. Okay? But it is a number of promises here that Jesus gives us about prayer and about asking him, you know, whether we're seeking or knocking or whatever we're asking for, whatever we're seeking, that we can get it from him. And that's true to some extent. It always has to be in his will, though. All right. So what does it mean when God's silent? I have 4 points, 2 of them today, 2 next week. I'm going to alliterate, and I'm not that great at alliterating. I'm going to alliterate, use the letter D. It's supposed to help you remember. it doesn't really help me so much, but hopefully it helps you. So let's jump into that and find out what it means when God is silent. The first reason that God is silent is the easiest one to understand, I think. It's the easiest one to explain, but it's not always the easiest one for us to accept. And that is, sometimes when you pray, God, in his sovereignty, in his holiness, in his perfection, simply denies your request. There's the first D. He denies it. Not only that, but he denied it a couple thousand years ago. God's answer is no, sometimes. But what do we do in our wrong ways is sometimes we keep praying for the same thing. We may be thinking that God didn't answer us, but perhaps that's because of our lack of knowing what God has said in the scriptures. This is something I struggled with early on, because you learn about prayer and how God will answer any prayer and he'll hear anyone. And well, there's conditions on that, so you got to be a little careful about that. You got to know what the Bible has to say about many different subjects, which is why we're supposed to study the scriptures daily and know what it says. So let me give you a simple example. It's people that teach like this, I know we always do this, but this applies to many things, but it's sort of an extreme example. I don't know who's praying this sort of a prayer, but let me give you an example of something that God said no to, and he said no to a long time ago. All right? "Lord, please, I pray, just let me win the lottery. I just need $1 million. Lord, that would solve so many problems. You know I try to be a good steward. You know I try to honor you. I tithe. I just need $1 million. Let me win the lottery." Okay, now, some of you are laughing because some of you know that the answer to that prayer is no. Because God doesn't want his children playing the lottery. He doesn't want them gambling. Now, if you don't know why that is, what you should be doing is studying the Word of God for what it says. Now, I'm just going to show you very quickly a couple of quick things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, if you will. Proverbs 28, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit trail here, but I just want to show you, for anybody that doesn't know why that answer is no, I just want to show you a couple verses here. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." Okay, that's good. Stop there for a second. Faithful to what? Faithful to doing what God says to do, to obedience to his word, right? "A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich," stop for a second, What does haste to be rich mean? Trying to get rich quick. Okay, you're trying to hurry and get rich. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. What is another way to say not innocent? Guilty. All right. Okay, so that one's pretty clear. Guilty of what exactly? Well, I think in this verse, I think it's referring to not being faithful, not doing things with money the way God says to. Skip down two verses, or one extra verse to 22. He that hasteth to be rich, so now we know what that is. He's trying to get rich quick, hath an evil eye. Well, I also am not exactly sure what that one means, but I don't want God to be telling me that I have an evil eye. That's not a good thing. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. That sure sounds like a promise from God. If you are one that is trying to get rich quick, you're not considering that that poverty is going to come upon you. Doesn't that sound like a promise from God? Right? To his children? So answer me this. What, you don't have to answer. I'm just using these expressions. You can stare at me blankly. It's okay. I know it's early. What is playing the lottery other than trying to get rich quick, making haste to be rich? What is it? That's what it is, right? That is what you're trying to do. There is no other reason to play the lottery, right? So if you do that, you shall not be innocent. You have an evil eye, and poverty will come upon you. How many people have you ever heard the stories of people that win the lottery, or even athletes that make millions of dollars, they get rich really quick, and then they blow it all? Well, poverty comes upon them. It happens over and over and over and over and over. It's a promise that God fulfills. So I'm not here to teach you about financial things right now. This is my example of a prayer that you might pray that the answer was already no before you even prayed it. Okay? So why is God silent on something like that? He's already answered it in his word, right? So as an aside, if you look in your bulletin today, I will say this. There's a little flyer in there about a seminar that I'll be teaching over at Countryside. If you want to know more about financial things, financial principles, I'm teaching for 4 weeks over at Countryside, starting on Thursday next week, then a couple weeks off, and a couple more weeks in April. So there's my little advertisement. So I'm not here to talk about finances today. I'll do that at Countryside if you want to come and join that seminar. The point here is that if your prayer has been denied, if there's something already in God's word that gives you the principle that you shouldn't be doing something, you shouldn't be gambling, based on these verses, you shouldn't be gambling, you shouldn't be playing the lottery. Whether or not you've got the money to do that, you shouldn't be doing it. That's not, God doesn't say, well, if you have money to blow, that's not what he says. He says you shouldn't be seeking to get rich quick. There's nothing wrong with being rich. It doesn't say that. That's not in the Bible anywhere. So in fact, God made many of the patriarchs rich. The kings he made rich, right? There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being poor either. The problem is seeking to get rich quick, if you study this out, okay? So what don't you want to pray? Lord, make me rich quick. The answer is no. Okay? So it's like that, about anything that God is silent about, that you think he's just not answering you, you need to check the scriptures. You need to know what they say. You need to study it daily so you know what it says about many different subjects. He's not going to answer a prayer that goes against his will and his word. Right? Your prayer is denied. So God's word often says things like, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Right? The way I wouldn't say this to other people, but I say it to myself. Whenever I read that phrase, you do err not knowing the scriptures, I say it to, yeah, you dummy. You need to know the scriptures. It also uses a phrase, know ye not. Have you ever heard that? You've read that phrase. Know ye not, whatever, right? That occurs 14 times in the New Testament. It's always expressed like this, if I were to put it in today's way of speaking. How can you not know this? Okay? This is a you problem. Okay? That's how that phrase is used. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Know ye not? How can you not know this? Think of it that way. So don't pray to the contrary of what the Bible says. If we're praying something against the Lord's will, against what his word says, the answer is no. So if God is silent, check that first. Maybe it's just something that you're ignorant of. You have to be willing to consider that if God doesn't seem to be answering a fervent prayer, it may be that no is the answer and has been the answer since before you were born. Okay? When you receive silence from God, it's not a lack of an answer. It is the answer. God will not answer you no matter how much you beg him to go against his perfect will. He will be silent, and he expects you to study the scriptures and expects your submission to what it says. Right? It's a hard one to take, but hey, if you've ever had this problem of, hey, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, God didn't answer me. Well, did he? Check it out. Okay? It's just one reason, maybe. Okay. I'll pick on Kyle because he came in late. I didn't get to tell you I was going to do this to you, buddy. You don't have to do anything. I'm just going to pick on. This just makes it more personal. So anybody that doesn't know, Kyle back here is my son. I don't think you'll mind me saying this. He's in his late 20s. He's been out of my house for years. He's married Faith. They've been married for 3 years now. They have their own home. They live over in Lakeview. He has a good job. He's worked for years. Okay. If Kyle came to me and said, you know, Dad, I really want a new car. The one I have is okay. I'm not being unthankful. But I really have my eye on this Rolls-Royce Spectre. Okay? It's a $400,000 car. Okay? Just so you know. Good choice, by the way. But if he said, you know, please, please, Dad, would you just buy this for me? I'll drive you around. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you think my answer is going to be? Okay. For a couple of reasons that he knows, my answer is no. Okay. They are, one, I teach biblical finances. And I teach things very specifically about how much car you can own depending on your income and things like that. He knows that. He also knows that years ago when he left my home, I said, listen, when you leave and you get married, two things. One, you no longer live here. Number two, you no longer are on my payroll. I'm not paying for your stuff. Okay? Look, in an emergency, I'm there for you, okay? But I'm not buying you cars and stuff like that. That part of our relationship is over. So that's the real answer. The answer is no. But how do you think I would actually answer him? I know he knows this already. I'm not even going to answer him. I'm not going to dignify his silly request with an answer. I would probably, okay, and move on, right? That's kind of, minus the, okay, God doesn't do that to you necessarily. But that's the same idea here. I'm getting at here. Right? God has already answered. You know the answer, or you should know the answer, or you can find the answer to something that God has already said in his word. So don't pray to the contrary of that. All right? God has denied your request a long time ago. You're supposed to study to show thyself approved unto God. He tells us in the scriptures that we should do that. So you should already, like I said, know it or know how to find it. Or Pastor Cole just was up here a couple weeks ago teaching us about not just how to understand the Bible, but specifically, here's some tools that you can use. Remember all the books that he had up here? And everybody else made the point later on that, you know, you can have it. It's all right on your phone. You can just put apps on your phone and it's all right there. And I agree with that. Great. Do that. So the second point is very similar to the first one, but there is a distinction here. So maybe God hasn't said no. Maybe he hasn't denied your prayer when he's silent. But if he's silent on a matter that you've been praying about, maybe he answered you and you just disliked his answer. There's the second D, okay? God may have given you a clear answer to your prayer, but you just didn't like it. So, what do we do in our faults? We keep praying, hoping he's going to change it, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not what we want to be doing, okay? Let me give you another example. I'll pick on my son Sean since he's not here. Again, I'm not the whole Rolls Royce thing. I know he would never ask me that. Okay, he wouldn't do that. Sean wouldn't do this either. He never did. We're going to say this is Sean about what 15 years ago. So he was an early teen. Okay, I'm just using it to make it more personal, so we can have a little laugh over it. Okay, you can all give him a hard time because he doesn't know what I'm going to say when he comes up from downstairs. All right, so imagine a conversation between myself, the father, and my son, Sean, and it goes like this. I say to Sean, "Sean, I want you to go out and mow the lawn." And Sean says, "You want me to mow the lawn?" "Yes." "You want me to mow the lawn now?" As he's video gaming or something, right? "Yes, Sean." "Well, I don't know where the mower is." "The shed isn't that big, buddy. You're going to find it." "Okay. Well, do we have any gas for the mower?" "I filled the can yesterday." "Well, where's that?" "It's in the shed next to the lawnmower." "Well, you know, I think it looks like it's going to rain." "Never mind, I'll get your mother to do it." Okay. That's a joke. That's the last part's a joke, all right? Do you realize that when God gives us an answer to a prayer that we don't like, that we are just like Sean if we keep praying? Don't be like Sean. No, be like Sean. He's a good man. He would never do this. He never did this as a teenager. It's just an example. If we keep praying to the contrary of what God has already told us, given us an answer to our prayer, and we don't like it, yet we keep praying, we're just like the son in that example. Did the father give clear direction? Did I ask Sean, did he know what I wanted him to do? Sure he did. Did he understand my direction? Sure he did. Did he obey his father's direction? Or was he looking for something else? Like a way out, right? Yeah, right. How long did it take Sean, in this case, to start finding excuses? Not very long. Within the first couple of things that he said, he was looking for a way out. And if we're not careful, we treat God exactly the same way. We pray. He answers. We dislike it. So we keep praying, hoping for something different. And then God goes silent. And we go, "Well, God hasn't answered my prayer." No, he did. You have to be willing to consider this, right, if that happens to you. There is one big difference, though, in that, between the son's dislike of the father's direction in that example and us disliking God's direction. That is that God isn't going to change what he wants from you. I use the joke of, "I'll get my wife to do it." No, God isn't going to do that. God's going to give you direction and expect you to obey it. And that's it. And when you have an unresolved issue with God like that, that you're disliking, he's given you directions, you don't like it, God says, until you're ready to get serious about what I've told you, we're not going to move on. And he goes silent. There's nothing left for God to say, is there? You know that he wants you to mow the lawn, right? Or whatever the answer to your prayer was. You know what God's answer was. So stop praying about it. Stop looking for a way out. Stop thinking up excuses. stop thinking God is going to submit to your will. That's not how this works. God demands our obedience. Okay? Someone might say, let's look at the first two real quick. So first, if God is silent, check the Bible, right? So make sure that God hasn't denied your request because it's against his will. In other words, he's already recorded the answer in the Bible, and you either just didn't read it or you didn't hide it in your heart. That's it. It's one of those. Second, make sure it isn't that you just disliked God's answer to your prayer. Because if it's either one of those things, stop praying about it. Now, I'm glad to see several people nodding their heads. Yeah, great, good. But everybody, some people will say this, right, in this sort of a discussion. If you're having it one-on-one, they'll say, well, isn't it good to pray about everything? The Bible says that. No, it's not. It's not good to pray about everything. I'm going to show you that here in the scriptures in just a second. You know the story of the Israelites entering the promised land? When God led them, Moses had died, Joshua led them across the Jordan River. First place they come to is, anybody? Jericho, right. So we know the story of Jericho, right, where God is going to deliver the city into their hands. He gives them instruction, tells them to compass the city. They, you know, get the ark, and they all get together, and they go around the city once a day for 6 days, I think it is, and then seven times on the seventh day. And then when they're done with that, they're supposed to blow the trumpets and yell, and the walls will fall down flat. And then they can go in and take the city of Jericho. Well, they did. God did exactly that. Then, when they went to the next city, called Ai, what happened? Well, they found that they weren't able to fight against the men in Ai. They ended up fleeing. In fact, 36 Israelites died when they tried. Turn to Joshua chapter number 7. We'll look at that account real quick for the last few minutes here. Joshua chapter 7. And I might as well start reading in verse 1 here. So this is the story of when they get to Ai. Okay, says it starts out here in verse 1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. That was at Jericho. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and his elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do? What wilt thou do unto thy great name? So this has happened. They failed in Ai. Joshua is on his face praying to God, saying, oh, God, why? Why did you bring us here to die? Why? What can I say, Lord? What's it going to do to your name? You know what God says to him? Look at verse 10. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus on thy face? You know what he said? Stop praying. Get up. Israel has sinned. That's the beginning of verse 11 there. Well, the idea here is that God had already told them what they should and should not do back before they ever went around the city of Jericho. I'll read this very quickly. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, God had told Joshua, and this is Joshua telling the rest of the Israelites what they are to do and what they are not to do. And in this case, it's what you're not supposed to do. And in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. They got that instruction from God. This is before they went around Jericho. Okay, God had told them what they should do. What did they do? Well, we read it in verse 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. They did what they weren't supposed to do. God had told them not to do it. Achan did it anyway. All right. So here's what God says back as Joshua is complaining about the fact that they can't, you know, he's sort of blaming it on God, I think, here. Well, what about thy name, Lord? What am I supposed to say? You know, what's a reproach? The Lord said unto Joshua, verse 10 in chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus on thy face? Again, stop praying. Get up. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more. God's pretty serious about what he tells you to do and what he tells you not to do. He even said, I'm not going to be with you anymore. What's he saying? Until you're ready to obey me, we're not moving on. It's the same with your prayers. When you get an answer that you dislike. Okay? So he then goes on to tell the Israelites, or tells Joshua, what they're supposed to do. It says in verse 15, once you find out who did it, it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. The good news, though it's harsh, is that Joshua got serious, and he followed the Lord's direction and dealt with the sin. Now, it ended very poorly for Achan and his family. They took the things that Achan had taken, gold and silver, and some other stuff. They took those things. They took Achan. They took his sons, his daughters, his livestock, his tent, and all that they had to the Valley of Achor, and stoned them with stones and burned them with fire. Now, that sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? Well, you and I are to take that as an example in a measure of how serious God is that we obey his word and follow his direction. So you might not like his answer to prayer. Right? You must dislike it for the second D. You might not like it at all. Don't keep praying about it. If God's given you instruction, he's serious. Do that. Right? Even if you don't like it. How many times, I mean, probably everybody in here that's been a Christian for very long, you can say something like, well, God let this happen in my life. I really didn't like it, but boy, did it turn out to be a blessing. Right? We all have those things. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. Right? God knows what he's doing. He always does. And in the matter of prayer, which is what we're studying, when God is silent, you have to consider that that's what you're doing. Because if you really are willing to, I've said this before, you know, don't lie to yourself about what you're doing. If you know what God wants you to do and you're just wanting something different, well, stop praying. Just like God told Joshua to get up off your face. Stop it. Stop praying. I told you. And he expects your obedience. So is he silent on something that you prayed about? What's the first thing? Make sure he hasn't denied your request. He hasn't said no and said no. What we were reading about there and remember when I was talking about playing the lottery? You know who wrote Proverbs? those verses in Proverbs, that was Solomon. That was a while ago. Okay. So just because you think you need to be rich, and again, I'm not here to harp on it, but you know, we live in the wealthiest nation on earth in the most prosperous time in history. So stop telling me that you don't have enough. People tell me that all the time because I'm trying to help them with their finances. You need an adjustment. But it doesn't matter if it's finances or something else that you're praying about that God has been silent. Make sure he hasn't just denied you. He's already said no in his word. Study the scriptures. Okay? Those of you that have been Christians for a long time, I'm kind of yelling at you. But it's not me so much. it's the Holy Spirit. Look, he gets me too. Remember I told you whenever I see the know ye not, or ye do err not knowing the scriptures, yeah, you dummy. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at me. But you should do the same. Make sure that he hasn't denied your request already in the scriptures. And then make sure that you aren't just disliking what he said and hoping that he changes his answer because you want something else. Now, there's two more things. They're a little more involved. Next week, we'll get to those two more D's we'll talk about. we're going to build on this. And next week, I was late on you today, but next week we've got about three times the amount of scripture to get through. So I will try to get through that next week to give you the full picture. If you were watching online, come on next week and hear Sunday school. Come on and get here for the morning service, if you will. But it's something that I learned a long time ago, that if God isn't answering my prayer, I'm the problem. Not him. It's my prayer. It's the way I'm looking at it, the way I'm thinking about it, my ignorance of what that says. It's always something like that. So I got a couple more for you next week. Let's pray, and I'll be done for Sunday school. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we can come to you. Lord, thank you that you will hear us, Lord, if we ask according to thy will. Lord, we just pray that you would help us all to become better prayer warriors, Lord, and to not pray things that are against your will or against your word, Lord. Continue to pray for things that we just don't like, where we've received your instruction already. Lord, we just pray for forgiveness in those areas, Lord, and just help us to be better children of yours, Lord. Help us to be always concerned about your will and your glory and your honor, not about our own and the things that we want. Lord, just pray that this lesson would be a help, Lord, that it would stay in our hearts, Lord, and we will learn more next week. We pray for the morning service. I pray that you would use it as well, and Pastor Cole as he preaches. Lord, we just thank you for all of it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.